Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Oh, yeah. Back in the saddle, nice and normal like always. Let's do this, bitches. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the bleeping known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, you're in. If he doesn't, well, he'll probably read it anyway because it's his chance to be on the show, so help him out. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on the Twitch channel, guess what? We're back in studio, so you can watch us on Twitch. And it's a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, Twitch, send a raven, run naked through the studios, whatever you do, put odds on it. What are the odds it's going to be a good show, Hoffman?
Percent 1,000. I like your energy.
I'm feeling it, man.
At least I'm coming off a good night's sleep.
Yeah, me too.
And we actually were able to prep a show today, unlike yesterday. So, it should be good.
I think we pulled it off, but there's two things I hate. One is being rushed, which we were, and the other is being underprepared, which we were.
Yeah.
We still made it work, but, today I went to bed at 10 last night. I tried to make it till 10. Stayed for a little bit for the automotive map party. I stayed for the speeches, which you missed.
Okay, I did. I did not stay for any of it.
Yeah, that's where David Gowan mentioned all the great managers we have and then the ones that need work, and that's when your name came up. But just kidding. I stayed for that, had a good time, did a segment with Glenn Davis on soccer in England, which is cool. But when I got home, I sit down in front of the TV. I start watching Watchmen, the third one, because I missed it while I was gone. Fell asleep halfway through and didn't wake up till 5 this morning. And then got caught up on everything sports map related and all my gambling stuff I have to get done. Wrote a piece for sports map if you're interested in England. That's kind of all the places we went. A lot of them you went to. And got all that done. And suddenly I'm like, hey, I'm caught up.
Look at that.
Let's do this. Got my show prep done and ready to rock and roll. So I feel right today for the first time.
Yeah.
And especially as soon as the music starts. You're like, let's do this.
I still think, a couple, day or two from now, by then it'll be the weekend,
yeah.
But it'll be, once we get some good sleep in, it'll be...
I think I'm one more day from being...
Totally back to normal.
But I mean, as far as the show goes...
I feel way better.
Yeah, I feel fantastic today. I'm ready to rock and roll. A lot of good stuff going on, a lot of great things to talk about, and a lot of stuff we can put odds on. So, and then Aaron gave me a beer. So
he gave me one too, yeah.
Can't wait to get home and try that.
Thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome. And we are also off early for everybody to listen to at 6:30 for Aggie basketball tonight.
You know what? I knew that, and then I forgot about it.
And
damn, I'm like mentally prepared for 3 full hours.
I made a wager on the Aggie basketball game tonight.
Did you?
I did.
You went the other way?
I went the other way.
What's the number? It was something big, right?
27.
Okay. I saw you. I think you tweeted something out about that.
Yeah, I tweeted out because it's an added game or an extra game. So depending on where you make your wagers at, it's not always under the regular basketball games,
right?
Because it's got a different rotation number, which a lot of the times they're good for the picking if you can get them. But for pregame.com, we can't post those games as premium plays,
right?
So I had one yesterday, which was Seton Hall -27. I tweeted out. Of course, I got people at halftime when it was a close game bitching at me, and and then of course they,
it's like,
they
let the game play out. I hate when people do that. Oh, that over looks terrible right now. It's 14-10, and then they score 35 points in the third quarter.
Yeah, and Seton Hall won by over 30, so everything was okay. And then today, there's a couple of those. I'll just go ahead and give them both out here. One was UC Santa Barbara -15. I had it -14. I think it's up to 15 now. Depending on your book. That's the thing about those added games.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot of variance in what the number is
which is a good thing.
It is. So yeah. This is that's why you should always have more than one out, by the way. But this is those games, especially early in the season, these are games that the books are unprepared for.
And you've been studying these guys, so you're ready for that.
Right. And if you go to, I mean, most of these books, and particularly even the books in Vegas, well, some of those added games, you'll only be able to get like a nickel down on.
Right.
Because they don't want to expose themselves much. But, I mean, unless you're a dude who's betting more than $500 a game, that doesn't really matter to you, does it?
Yeah.
So I try to take advantage of these spots when I can. But
so give them what you got.
UC Santa Barbara minus 14, 15, whatever you get. I think they win by close to 20. And then Northwestern State, I did plus 27. Aggie didn't beat anybody by 27 last year, including this Northwestern State team, which, by the way, is an awful team. But they got four junior college transfers in. They should be better offensively than they were a year ago. And, you know, I got to talk to Buzz Williams last week, and he was like, this team isn't where I want it to be offensively. It's going to take some time.
He'll get them there. But
I think he will, too. But he doesn't have the pieces in place right now to do it. So I think that you see it. I mean, I don't know if it'll be a close game, but I think it'll be
cover 27.
Closer than 27.
Well, so, there you go.
There you go. For the people.
Well, guess what? For the people, I have a hockey play tonight.
There you go.
10-2 to start the season. I had two over the weekend.
And you're generous because you could post this on pregame.
I could, and I'm thinking about starting to do that. But I like to have something for the people. And if you're winning on the hockey, just please go and, you know, get my football picks on there, and AJ's football picks for that matter.
No, I'm not going to post as much football anymore. It's time.
Yeah, I know, but I actually love the plays I put up for. I turned in my pregame plays today for the weekend on football. I love them. I love this weekend. But so we're off to a 10-2 start on hockey. Here's one for you tonight. Over 5.5, Edmonton-St. Louis.
There you go.
Edmonton is off to a fantastic start. St. Louis is really good defensively and good in goal, but it's at Edmonton, and St. Louis can play that up-tempo, and what I'm hoping is Edmonton gets a couple goals early, and if they do, it's an easy over 5.5.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I've, you know, we've been doing football picks for I don't know how long. I mean, since football season started, so August. And yesterday, in subscription sales alone for my college basketball pack, like they put up a deal at the beginning of the season where you can get picks all season long for like a super discounted rate the first few, you know, couple weeks or days of the season. I don't know what it is. I'm the subscription numbers, like I've got more subscribers for college basketball already than I do for my entire season of NFL.
Well, so. It's funny. We were talking about this off air once. It's like you do really well with the college basketball subscriptions, and I make all my money on the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
So the football picks are.
It becomes less of a priority for me now.
So. Yeah. So. All right. 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in. And next segment, we'll get to some of your tweets and texts and whatever. And. Get caught up on that. But one thing that did happen last night was the first of the college football playoff rankings.
Okay.
And I just want to start with the fact that if you're getting upset over this right now or having some strong opinion about it, then you're a dumb because it means nothing.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, Clemson's not in there. Well, you got four teams ahead of them that are playing each other.
They do that intentionally.
Yes, they do, so that you'll talk about the rankings, which we would talk about anyway because we always do. But so my two takeaways are they put Clemson out of there intentionally, knowing that there's no way Clemson's going to lose and they're going to be in the top four.
Yeah.
End of discussion. And they put Ohio State ahead of LSU, which I guess stirs up some debate, but to me it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, have you watched Ohio State play? I mean, yes, LSU has the better victories. Ohio State hasn't come close to losing a football game.
Ohio State's the best team.
I think they may be.
So I don't think there's even a may.
I don't know. I mean, because
I know for a fact they've got a better defense than Alabama or LSU does. And their offense ain't way far behind it.
No, their offense is great. It's just I think who they're playing, I still believe that LSU's played the better teams, and that's why they played closer games. And I don't know that Ohio State would have rolled through Florida and Auburn and those.
You know
guys.
What did Wisconsin do to everybody until they saw Ohio State? They were on cruise control, crushing everyone. And Ohio State,
except for Illinois,
pulled their pants down.
And Illinois is like Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that to me that kind of takes a little bit of luster off of it. Listen, I'm not arguing with you. I think Ohio State's number one.
What about Cincinnati? Who's beat Cincinnati? Ohio State.
Yeah.
42-0. A team that hasn't lost another game this season got beat 42-0. I mean, even Michigan State, who the style that they play means they don't get blown out. Same with Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They beat Michigan State by 24.
Except they're the kind of teams, if you get them down, you're going to blow them out.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not throwing water on it. I'm just saying I don't think it's clear cut that they're better than LSU or Alabama right now. But I think they should be number one.
I do too.
I would have them number one. I think last week when we did this, I had Ohio State one, LSU two.
They've been the most impressive.
Yeah.
Because LSU, has LSU played a tougher schedule? Yes. But LSU could have easily lost to a meh Texas team.
Could have lost to Florida.
Could have lost to Florida. Could have lost to Auburn.
They didn't, though.
They didn't, which is impressive. That's great.
But, and I don't know, though, that Ohio State would have destroyed those teams the way they destroyed everybody.
I don't know that they
would have either. And that's the beauty of it. But, you know, and that's the thing. You know, Penn State's the one you look at and go, really? You guys like Penn State that much?
Well, someone would ask me about it. I would have Clemson favored by double digits on a neutral against Penn State. And that may...
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have it 9 or 10, somewhere in there.
So, to me, it's laughable that Penn State's in there, but they want people buzzing and talking about it. And
absolutely.
Sure, you've got it. Knowing damn well that Ohio State and Penn State won't both be in the Final Four at the end, it's easy for them to do it now and say, we'll let people talk about it. Let people get all hyped up about it. And with Clemson, we all know, if Clemson wins out, they're in.
There's no doubt. And then... I was listening to Barry and Joel talking about, like, well, if Baylor runs the table and all this. And this goes back to what we talked about. If things fall right and Oregon only has one loss and Baylor's undefeated, Oregon's getting in.
Baylor played the most of – look at every Power 5 team's non-conference schedule. Every Power 5 team. You will not find a Power 5 team that played more of a joke non-con than Baylor. They played the worst – possible schedule, and
what's funny,
the committee will not reward them, and they're not going to win out anyway.
No, they're not.
They're probably going to lose to TCU this weekend.
I wouldn't surprise me, but they still got to beat TCU, Texas, Oklahoma, presumably Oklahoma twice,
right?
And the thing is, if they do that, then you're going to be talking about a 4 or 5 loss Texas and a 2 or 3 loss Oklahoma, and suddenly mm-hmm. those wins don't look very good.
Yeah, and because they didn't test themselves non-con, the committee's going to look at that and go, well. The Big 12's already kind of looked at with a negative light anyway.
Well, let's be honest. It's not a great conference.
It's not.
When Oklahoma's good, great.
But they play – I mean, we've talked about this. The three games that they scheduled non-conference, Stephen F. Austin, which is an FCS team.
Right.
UTSA and Rice, which are two of the probably 5 to 6 worst programs in college football. And they beat Rice by – that was a one-possession game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you can go crazy about this team. And
If they were to beat Oklahoma 50-21 or something, then, you know, if they blow them out, you
then
might
we're say, having okay. a conversation.
But that's where the catch-22 comes in, because if they do that, Oklahoma's not very good.
No.
And if you looked at Oklahoma's wins before that Kansas State loss, they didn't really have one where you go. I mean, they were blowing everybody out like Ohio State is, but they didn't have a win where you look at it and go, because UCLA was down and held UH covered against them. So I don't think that's realistic. I mean, what they're doing is amazing. Don't get me wrong.
I think the teams that we're talking about that have a legit shot to play, and I'm not going to throw in Baylor. I'm not going to throw in Minnesota. But the teams that legitimately have a chance still to be in that Final Four, I think, are in the top 9. It's, Ohio State, LSU, Bama, Penn State. Clemson, they went out, they're in. Georgia, they went out, they're in. Oregon and Utah are in a situation, and Oklahoma are all in a situation where if they went out, they probably need some help, but they still have a legitimate shot at being there.
Yeah.
I think after that point, it gets to where, I don't think so.
Well, I think what's going to be fun is when you get to the argument between one loss Oregon/Utah, one loss Oklahoma, one loss LSU/Alabama.
I don't think there's an argument.
I don't.
Although, but Oregon is such a bit. I think Utah's in trouble.
If Alabama loses, and if you just stop looking at them as Alabama and look at their schedule.
Oh, I think Alabama cannot afford to lose. I think there's the committee's kind of grown, and really college football fans have grown tired of Alabama always getting the benefit of the doubt. I think if they lose to LSU or to anyone for that matter, if they lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game, I could see them getting left out because they haven't really played anybody. And they've got some games left, obviously. They've got LSU, they've got Auburn, their schedule's going to get better. but it's not wow. You know, whoa, right. Whoa, these guys are so great. Oregon, I think, is going to have the most compelling argument if they win out because, again, they lost on a last-second touchdown to Auburn, opening game of the season, at a neutral site, and then they would have won out. I think that they're going to be a team that people look at and go, you know what? Maybe so. I don't think they have any business in it because I think they'll get blown out.
I hope the committee rewards that, though. It's like they played one of those games because those are the games we want to see early in the season.
Yeah.
So, all right, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. And What Are the Odds Lions Poker Palace is the best place to play poker in Houston.
%1,000.
Indeed. And they've got so many great deals. And right now, how about this? They've got the rush hour special. So rather than go home, you don't want to go home because nobody wants you at home. Go play poker because the first 40 cash players, first time check in for the day between 5:30 and 7:30, you play free for the rest of the day. How about that? You can't beat free. And listen, they take care of their players there. George and Najib run a wonderful room. Mr. Lyon, all of them. They are, you know, Mr. Lyon's a player himself. They take care of their players. 40 cash players, first time check in. Free for the rest of the day.
Yeah, check them out on Facebook. You'll get all the information on when they're playing, what game they're playing, etc. But go in and see the place for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. It is one of the greatest looking rooms you'll ever play in. It's a beautiful room. Security all over the place. TVs all over the place. Fantastic food. BYOB. Just an incredible poker experience, man. And we've been to a lot of the rooms around town. None of them compare to Lions Poker Palace. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. That's Lions Poker Palace. And everyone can tell that you're poisoning the well. But there are no mistakes except what you create. You need to know your place. Cause it's about to get heavy. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy. All right, guys, I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. Listen up, guys. This place, they know what they're doing. And if you need homeowners insurance, these are the guys to make your experience the best. It used to take forever to get a reliable home quote. And you're like, I don't even want to test. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I just want to keep rolling with what I got. Well, what if you could save some money? And what if you could do it really easily? Just save some money. No big deal. And it doesn't take any work. You don't have to talk to anybody on the phone. You send a text. You send the word money to 232323. You'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. How easy is that? This company, the savings are legit. The online rating is nearly perfect. And the average customer from this year is saving over $870. And again, no hassle, no need to worry about your renewal. They'll take care of all that. They do it all for you. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and start saving now.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday? Man, it feels so good to be back. Tell you what, I'm just, we had a great time. But there's nothing like being home, being in studio, doing a show. It is the best. Somebody asked you, they parlay our three plays tonight. If you're just playing a few bucks, I mean, I feel good about mine, and AJ feels good about his. I mean, if you listen to the show, you know we're not big on parlays because the odds are never, like, if you were to play those three, you're probably getting 6-1. The odds of actually hitting it are closer to 9-1 or 10-1. But if you're just playing a few bucks and want to try to win some money and aren't really interested in the games, you're just trying to cash, then that's a... I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So somebody says, if OU beats Baylor, a ranked Okie State, then an 11-1 Baylor in the Big 12 championship, and they are dominating, that's three really quality wins against ranked teams for OU to finish out the season, especially if K-State finishes ranked. All that and the Jalen Hurts narrative will carry them to number four. I don't know. I
don't know either.
I think that that K-State loss is a bad loss.
It's a bad loss. That's the same problem that's going to haunt Utah, is the loss that they have. It ain't good. The USC loss, USC's bad, it turns out. USC's probably going to fire their coach.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got to take into account what game that they lost. And sometimes that, when things are close and you're looking at Oregon or Oklahoma, and you say, okay, well, Oklahoma's got these good wins down the stretch. They lost to Kansas State. Oregon, they're going to have some decent wins, too. I mean, they won at Washington, which a lot of people didn't think they would do. And then you're going to look at it and go, well, I mean, they win the Pac-12. Their one loss was a neutral site against Auburn. To me, the resume there says, well, it sounds like Oregon.
And Auburn may have another upset left in it before the season's over. And if they do that, then that's just going to make that win, that loss look better and better. And the other thing about OU is I think the perception of the Big 12.
Well, the Pac-12 has the same problem.
Yeah, they both have the same problem. And I think they've
got image issues.
If it comes down to one loss Ohio State or one loss LSU over those teams don't have a chance. So somebody asked, what about Georgia's loss to South Carolina at home? Bad loss, but their
South
wins.
South Carolina's not horrible either.
No,
and their wins would be able to overcome that.
Yeah, because they would have wins over presumably Alabama or LSU in the championship game. They play all the good teams from the West except for Alabama. I mean, their wins are going to be really, really good, and that's going to overcome.
And I think they'll also take into account that, and I mean, a loss is a loss, but they shouldn't have lost that game. I mean,
yeah,
just realistically.
But they also they beat Notre Dame, who's going to be highly ranked. I mean, that's the thing. Oklahoma will not have any of those except in conference teams that I think we all would agree are just not that great.
Yeah,
and
the other thing is whatever happens with Georgia, and this is not the case for Oklahoma or Utah or Oregon. For Georgia to run the table, they will have to beat another team that is considered nationally elite at the end of the season. They'll have to beat either Alabama or LSU to run the table. So Georgia, by the end of the year, would have, I mean, you mentioned the Notre Dame game. They'd have the Florida win. They'd have a win at Auburn. And then they'd have a win against Alabama or LSU. That's going to get in. That one loss resume is going to get in.
And
that the other thing is, if Georgia runs the table and they don't get in, that means you're leaving out the SEC champion, which means you're not going to have an SEC team in.
Yeah, and that's impossible.
There's zero chance of that happening.
How has OU's loss to number 16 Kansas State a bad loss? I see that as the best loss of all the one loss teams remaining. Did you watch the game? That game was not as close as the score. I mean, they got blown out.
Struck in that game,
and they basically got a few points late in the game to make it close.
And
Kansas State may be number 16. That's not a good football team. They've got two or three more losses left in them.
And in what world is Kansas State better than Auburn?
Crickets.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you. That's not the best of the one loss teams, but
that game was 41-23 going into the fourth quarter. They got dog stomped in that game.
Yeah. And, yeah, basically that game was what happened to the Boomer Schooner the week before.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Jonathan on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. What's up, Jonathan?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
Wanted to get your odds on a Big 12 team making the Final Four in basketball. Obviously, the season's new, but just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, obviously Kansas is going to be sort of the front runner team. You know, last night, notwithstanding, although they do hit a three to cover. I mean, I didn't play it, but shout out to any Kansas backers.
And that's week one game against a top five team. So
yeah, they're going to be fine. I'm trying to think of who else is really a contender. I would guess that. You know, I think Baylor's going to be good again. I think that there's going to be some contending teams. I like Texas Tech again. I just think it's going to be hard for them to match what they did a year ago. And I think Texas will be better. But I think Kansas is probably the team that jumps out to me. If you had to say one of these teams is a Final Four team, Kansas is probably the one.
Speaking of Texas, and I don't know what they're going to be this year because I never know year to year, but shout out to Andrew Jones, 20 points.
Very cool story.
Yeah, for a guy who had been battling cancer and first game back, scores 20 last night. So those are the kind of stories you like to see.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. It'll be it's – I have gotten more interested in college basketball mainly because You talk about it so much that I've started betting it again. And plus, I get interested when UH is good.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're going to laugh at me for this, but I punched an 80-1 ticket on UH before they declared Quentin Grimes eligible. 80-1 to win the whole thing.
All right.
Not for a whole lot, but well, yeah, that's the point.
80-1 for $10 isn't bad.
It's a little more than $10.
There you go.
I put 50 on it.
Okay.
But I had a little extra in the account. So getting a lot of what are the odds Josh Ennis gets a show on 97.5, and a lot of what are the odds he never shows. He is the most polarizing guy. But
he really is. Yeah.
It was cool having him on. I like the guy, but I mean AJ can speak to that better than I can. But we don't have anything right now.
We're pretty loaded lineup, and I do like Josh. I know a lot of people don't, and that's fine. Everyone's entitled to an opinion. But we were going to be out, and I thought rather than have one of the same olds come in and do the show, it'd be interesting to have someone new. And
yeah, I thought it was really cool what you did bringing in Meltzer on Friday and bringing in Josh on Monday. I think that's get some different voices in here, and when we're gone, we like the show to be as entertaining as possible. And again, it's fine for a fill-in. If you don't like it, you can not listen for a day. We prefer you do because it's our ratings. But I like the guy, and I wish him nothing but the best, and I hope he fills in a few more times around here. 713-780-3776. In fact, next time he's here, you should probably bring him a car box.
Maybe so. Yeah, and guys, we talk all the time about Carbach. We got to hang out with Eric when we were out in London. And guess what's coming up soon? November 10th. Is that this Sunday? Boy, that did come up on us pretty quick, huh? Doors at 12:30, music at 1. It's the third annual Foam Hinge event at the brewery hosted by Eddie Trunk. Ace Frehley, the headliner. There's free parking, $5 beers, and children under 12 get in free. They've got GA tickets and VIP tickets still available. VIP, of course, includes the special entrance, a special area with a great view, indoor restrooms, 3 beers of your choice, access to some special tappings, a buffet by Carbach Restaurant and Patio, and a commemorative T-shirt. Go to CarbachBrewing.com to get your tickets today. Make sure you stop by the restaurant. They're open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Saturday and Sunday, they've got brunch. Just a fantastic experience, and you get to try some beers that you won't be able to get anywhere else in the whole wide world except right there at the restaurant. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today or when you're out and about this weekend. Ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach. It's all on the floor. Come on.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776 is your number. And we'll have some more conversations about this later in the week, but it's easy to kind of get caught up in the fact that there's always really good college football. Almost every week there's a good college football game, big matchup.
Yeah.
This is about as good as you're going to see with LSU and Alabama this week. And I know obviously a lot depends on whether Tua plays, but I feel like if LSU loses a close game, they're still very much in the playoff mix. I wonder if Alabama loses, unless it's kind of a fluky close game. I think they're still in the mix, but it's going to be really hard for them.
I think if LSU loses to Alabama, I mean, I really think whoever loses that game is going to have almost no shot at the playoff.
I think it depends on what happens elsewhere, and I also think it depends on what type of game it is. If it's 50-22, then yeah, they're gone.
Here's a scenario where I could see LSU getting in with a loss. They lose to Alabama, a close game.
Yeah, like last minute, it has to come down to the wire.
Georgia beats Alabama. And LSU continues to handle their business down the line, even though they've got, I think LSU, even with a head-to-head loss to Alabama, there will be some recency in place, and I think that they would let they would let a one-loss LSU in over Alabama, over a one-loss Alabama.
Because a lot could still happen. Oregon could still lose. Utah could still lose. Oklahoma could lose again. And you start taking those teams out of the equation.
Yeah.
And then you don't have a ton of really good options. And especially if Penn State loses to Ohio State and then loses again.
Yeah. So let me make it clear. A one-loss LSU gets in over most one-loss teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the problem is, the committee has said this time and again, one of the number one things that they look at is, did you win your conference championship? And a loss by LSU would basically give them, I don't want to say no shot, it would give them close to no shot at a conference. Alabama could lose to Auburn easily.
But they'd have to lose twice. Because a one-loss Alabama, one-loss LSU, Alabama would get in. To the championship game. Yeah. So, they have no chance of making the... Whoever loses this has zero chance of making the championship game.
Would they deserve to be in over a one-loss Oregon? Yes. Would they deserve to be in over a one-loss Oklahoma? Yes. I don't know that it's a guarantee that they would be in over a one-loss one of those teams because...
Yeah, I think those teams would have to lose, but it's still very possible.
Because the committee has said, they've said time and again, conference championships matter a lot. And, they've changed. It's evolved over time to where now conference championships are being weighted more than ever. So it's going to be harder and harder to get two teams from the same conference in, especially if one of those teams didn't even play for their conference championship. You know, if LSU wins, they beat Alabama, and then they play Georgia, and Georgia beats them, and that's LSU's one loss, is that loss to Georgia?
It's a different animal.
Now I think you're talking about maybe you can justify putting both those teams in, especially if it's a close game. But if you don't even play in your conference championship game, man, the committee's going to have a hard time with that, I think.
I'd feel a lot better about LSU beating Georgia than I do them beating Alabama, to be honest. I think they match up better with Georgia. But if they're going to beat Alabama, this is the team to do it because they can spread it out on offense, and that's usually how you get to Alabama. I just wonder if their defense is good enough to slow down Alabama, and I think a lot of that depends on Tua and how healthy he is. Brother Bear says, I like Jerome to sub in if any of the regular stout staff is out for any length of time. Hey, we love Jerome. He's just
not always available.
He's a busy guy. And guys, it's not like we take a ton of time off.
No,
we missed 2 days to be in London. So we work a lot on the show. We're not gone very much. So, you know, it's not a big deal. 713-780-3776 is your number. Somebody says, yeah, A.J. Hinch, A.J. Hoffman, both managing great lineups and bringing substitutes in that don't suck. Must be the initials.
That's right.
So, 713 wants to know, when is Eric from Carbot coming on? Eric's still in London.
He's going to be in Europe for...
Yeah, he's going to Germany after that.
A couple weeks.
It was fun being at the game with him. He had on his Carbot jersey, and so the people from Houston recognized the jersey, and, oh, you're Eric from Carbot. That's pretty cool. So
he's become very famous.
He has. He has. somebody wants to know, is LSU plus 7 enough points? I think that number is exactly what it should be.
LSU plus 7 is great if Tua doesn't play.
Oh, I love it if Tua doesn't play. I think they could win it outright. I think that's, to me, if you're going to bet it, that's the side to be on. But I think that number's right where it should be. There's no value in it. So, and a lot of people's like, expand the playoffs. After one, dude, let it play out, guys. Most times it plays out really well where there's four teams. And if it doesn't, then we can have this discussion then.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. There's something I want to dive into a little bit, but I want to wait until next segment on it. And Steven, the weather guy, wrote about it for Sports Map today about the death of Deadspin. I want to get into that a little bit next segment if we could. If you haven't checked out Sports Map today, We've had a couple of videos that have had more views than anything we've ever had on the history of the site. I mean, we're having like a record day. It's incredible. I did my whole London travel piece. If nothing else, there's some really cool pictures. So if you just want to see some cool pictures that I took, you don't have to read it. But it turned out really well, and I'm happy with it. So one thing before we get to the break, and this is one of those stories that I find both surprising, but at the same time, not really. Do you see that the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Vegas is suing Evander Kane of the San Jose Sharks?
I saw unpaid markers, huh?
$500,000 in gambling markers. And he did it while he was there. Now, the story was kind of implying that he was betting on hockey because he did it while he was there playing against the Golden Knights. I don't think that's the case.
to run up that much, he's probably doing it on blackjack or something.
It's too damn
more than likely, yeah.
But here's what I don't understand. If you're a guy with that kind of money, how are you running up what are you doing taking markers and then taking markers that you can't pay back?
By the way, never take markers.
Well, I have a couple friends who do very well, and they'll do markers in Vegas, but it's because they don't want their wife to know how much they're betting.
Okay.
But they'll pay them back before they leave. They pay them back at the end of the trip. They've never gone, oh, I'm going to wait a month or whatever. Because if I'm not mistaken, it's here, if you don't pay your debts, it's just a civil thing. But there, I think it's a criminal offense to not repay a marker.
I would think so.
So I don't get it. And so he's now getting sued.
Ugh.
But he took 8 credits of varying amounts between $20,000 and $100,000 on or about April 15th. That was when games 3 and 4 of the Sharks and Golden Knights were there. So, but yeah, that's, I love gambling, but you always try to tell people there is a dark side to it. And I mean, we've talked about this a lot,
yep.
But man, if you're getting yourself into that kind of trouble where you can't pay your markers, don't bet. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a guy with, I think he makes $7.5 million a year. And of course he lives in California, so it's probably like $100,000 a year when you take all the taxes out. But I mean that's a bad look, and he's had some issues in the past, nothing like this. But if you're going to go to Vegas and take markers, always pay him back before you go home. It's that simple. And if you're in a situation where you have to do that because you're losing so much, don't do it.
So in Las Vegas and Clark County, apparently failure to pay a casino marker is a felony in Nevada, requiring Ooh. Prison time upon conviction.
Ooh.
Punishment is according to the value of the marker, which is usually thousands of dollars. Under the law, failure to pay a casino marker for $250 is a Category D felony and punishable by 1 to 4 years in prison.
Punishable by death.
That's $250.
All right, who's taking a $250 marker? Honestly.
Jeez.
Well, and, you know, I think I've told you this, but I've got a pretty good line of credit at MGM that I've never used and never will because, you know, that's just a recipe for disaster. You know, just like it is, like if you're running up your credit cards to gamble.
Yeah, don't do it.
But you know what? If you have and your credit cards are way up there, guess what?
Look at you.
We got you covered. No, guys, if you want to save some extra money this holiday season, we got a way to do it that maybe you haven't thought of. You can consolidate your high-interest credit card balances to a lower rate and save with LightStream. LightStream believes that people with a good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. How about this? You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. That's much lower than the national average interest rate of over 20% APR, and your credit cards are probably higher than that. Your rate is fixed with LightStream, so as rates continue to rise, your rate won't budge. There's no fees, and you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. It's so easy, you can do it right there on your phone. And how about this? Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Fred for more information.
Grab everyone's attention.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. A spirited show. We're feeling a little bit better now, relaxed, rested, recharged, rejuvenated.
Was that the shortest break ever?
No, it's a normal length break.
Okay, because all I did was walk over to the other side and talk for about 30 seconds to somebody about Sports Map and grab another energy drink, and then
I think maybe you lasted longer than 30 seconds.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm still on London time.
So yeah, London seconds are
just
slower.
Like, well, pounds versus dollars, right. Same thing. So, yeah, we're having fun today, man. Lamont asked this, and a couple other people did on the text line. What are markers, and is there an interest component? Yeah, a marker is basically
a loan.
Yeah, you get a line of credit at the casino, and you do it before you go play. And if you basically need money while you're at a table, you just tell the floor, and they bring over a marker, basically a piece of paper for however much money you want to get. You sign it. That goes into your – it's basically a loan. They give you the chips right there. And depending on what your – you know, it's just like any loan, depending on what your credit is, you know, you can have anywhere from a $10,000 line of credit to $1 million, just depending on who you are. And I've had friends I've seen sit there and sign two or three $10,000 markers in one sitting. And, you know, it to me, it's – even if you can afford it, it's not a good idea.
They are not – there's typically not interest on them.
If you pay them back within
a specified amount of time, like whatever they tell you, whether it's 2 days, 48 hours, whatever. Basically, they look at it like – because you might think of it as like a credit card. It's not a credit card. Like the casino looks at it as you writing them a check.
Right.
And if you don't pay it back in a certain amount of time, they look at it as you just bounced a check to them. So that's what it basically becomes.
Yeah, I think, and to be honest, I've never used my line of credit at the casino, so I couldn't tell you.
I don't know a whole lot about it.
But I'm not crazy. I've had friends that did it, but I think after 30 days is when you get in trouble. But somebody who's done that can, you know, text the show or whatever. Let's squeeze in a quick call, and then we'll get to this Deadspin thing. Justin, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, man. Fred, I got some fantastic news for you since you're going to be moving to Hardin County. Is that going to be your permanent residence here whenever you get ready to build and move?
It's not going to be my permanent residence. It's going to be like a weekend place and eventually a retirement place, but I'll spend a lot of time there, yeah.
Okay, well, yesterday during the election over in Jefferson County, which is, I'm sure you know where Jefferson County is, it's Beaumont, but, you know, Beaumont area, or Ford Park, they passed two propositions to where you can actually, it's legal now in Jefferson County to bet on horse racing that's going on in other places. And they're going to have an area set up kind of like a bar, but, you know, a betting bar or whatever at Ford Park. And then they also passed another proposition to where they're actually going to have live horse racing at Ford Park. They're looking into building a racetrack at or around Ford Park. I know the betting portion of betting on live races in other states. They said it'll be middle of next year. They did not give a date or anything as far as the horse track and bringing the horse racing here to Beaumont, but they did pass both of them to where, you know, to where the horse racing will be actually happening in Beaumont at Ford Park. So I guess just today's Wednesday, what are the odds that you'll be dabbling in some of that horse betting and horse racing?
Well, this might surprise you. I think more racetracks in Texas are a terrible idea. And I've been kind of consistent about this. There are not enough horses. The purses aren't big enough. And now, if they're going to do kind of what they do at the Gillespie County Fair, where they're going to race like 1 week out of the year and then simulcast the rest of the time, totally down with that. I'll be there for simulcasting. But if they're going to try to open another racetrack that is going to have a lot of dates, that's going to, I mean, you've got Delta Downs right across the border with a casino. They're going to get better horses. The horses are going to go there. You've got Sam Houston Race Park here. I think it just depends on the model. If they're going to do a short 1 week meet so that they can simulcast, totally down with it. But if you're trying to open another racetrack, and I don't know, I'll have to read it because I don't know exactly who's over there trying to build the track. But if they're going to try to do something that's a month long meet or something like that, I think it's a bad idea. There's just not enough horses, and you know, it's not going to be great racing, and the tracks need to quit competing with each other. It's bad enough that, you know, Sam Houston competes with Oaklawn and Delta and even Fairgrounds in New Orleans. I mean, it's just this state is not equipped to handle more racetracks, and there's no real need for them. But again, I need to study a little bit more about how they passed it, because it just depends. If they're going to...
Would you say that horse racing in Texas, it has an up arrow or a down arrow or a neutral arrow? Because I would say
it actually has a bit of an up arrow now. Sam Houston is going to have the biggest purses they've ever had, and they've gone to a really good model, which is short meet and basically simulcast all year, put that money into the purses. When they used to try to race 6 months out of the year, it was a disaster. And I think if you keep doing that, limit the number of race days, bigger fields, better horses, more purse money, that works. But the more you spread it out, the more you keep adding racetracks and race dates, it's just not going to be successful until we have other forms of gambling.
I was going to say, yeah, once if gambling ever gets legalized in the state, I think then that's when people should start considering open up more tracks. Because
absolutely.
Then you can have more than just horses there to make your money.
Because right now you're competing with and listen, Sam Houston's done a great job with becoming a successful track, considering what they're up against. Because right across the border, Delta Downs has a casino right there on the premises. And it's just slot machines. I wish they'd have a poker room. I'd be over there more often. But it's just slot machines, and all that money, not all that money, but a significant amount goes into the purses. Oaklawn Park has other gambling. That money goes into the purses. That's right across the border in Arkansas. Remington Park, Oklahoma, guess what? Casino.
Yep.
Sunland Park, New Mexico, guess what? Casino. All these, and all those are bordering tracks around the state of Texas. Now, some of them are far enough away that you know you're not going to go to El Paso, but the reality is that's what the tracks in Texas are up against, is that every bordering state has casino money, and so they're able to put more money in the purses and get better horses and have better breeding programs and things like that. And that's a challenge. And so I would not open a racetrack until we get more gambling. Now, if you're gambling that there's going to be more and they think there's going to be more, go for it. Now, from a betting perspective, I still don't think we need more tracks because I don't – listen, guys like me don't like to bet on 5 and 6 horse fields. There's no value in it. We always talk about value in gambling. I want 10 and 12 horse fields. I want as many horses in the race as possible because that's where my big payoffs are going to come from. I'm not going to hit a $5,000 trifecta in a 6 horse field. It's impossible. So from a betting perspective, that's what you want. It's more challenging, but it's also more rewarding. And if you know what you're doing, you can make money off of it. And that's the problem with right now is that we have too many of those short fields. And that's because there's not enough horses and because there's not enough money to put in there for those horses. But I do think it's cool if that's what they're going to do. If they're going to race like 1 week out of the year and simulcast the rest of the year in hopes of getting more gambling, behind it 100%. So just, I need to study up on it more and find out exactly what they're trying to do. But I will say if they're trying to build a track that's going to run as much as Sam Houston, Retama, or Lone Star, I'm against it.
All right.
Somebody asked, is Hardin County still dry? I don't know. There's a bar right next to my place. So I'm guessing no.
I hope not.
Yeah. If so, I've been illegally drinking beer at that place.
Seems so crazy. There's dry counties in 2019.
I don't think there's that many left.
There's not. Most of them are up by the Oklahoma border, I think.
Yeah. I guess Waco used to be dry. I don't know if it still is. I haven't been there in years. But anyway, that's... I hope I'm not throwing water on everybody being excited about horse racing over there. I just, that's just my opinion. 713-780... ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. So I didn't get to what I wanted to talk about here. But 870 asks, outside of SHRP, what's your favorite race park in America? I love Santa Anita. As you know, when we went to Los Angeles, I was so excited to be able to get back out there. I think it's the most beautiful track in the world. Of course, now they've got some issues with the surface. But if I could only go to one, it would be there. Del Mar and Saratoga, I like. Arlington's really underrated.
What about like Lexington?
Keeneland in Lexington is nice.
Or Churchill.
Well, Churchill's one of the most historic. But if you're just talking about a place that you want to go and sit and see the mountains on, behind the track, and
it's almost scenic.
Yeah. Well, and the racing's great there too. And Keeneland's great. Churchill's great. But if you're asking my favorite, it's Santa Anita, followed by, believe it or not, Arlington. Arlington's a wonderful racetrack, and then Woodbine in Toronto, which is also very underrated. But, yeah, there's a lot
of great.
Is there
a dome on that?
There's no dome, but the weather's not bad there.
They only run in the summer?
No, they run from April to December. So every now and then. But
December in Toronto?
It's actually not as bad as you think. Toronto's very temperate compared to, because, people see
everybody
sees
an
Buffalo,
hour from Buffalo.
But the thing is, they're on the opposite side of the lake.
Okay.
And for some reason, it January and February are really bad, but the rest of the year, it's pretty mild. It's not nearly as bad as you would think. All right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Speaking of gambling, if you want to get in on the action online, guess what? MyBookie.ag. And you want to get in on the basketball that AJ gave you in the first hour? You want to get in on the hockey? MyBookie.ag has you covered. Football tomorrow, it's all back. MyBookie.ag. And the best part is when you win, you actually get paid. Nobody pays out faster. That was always my issue with a lot of these online books is you put your money in. That's part of the gamble. You may never see it again. Not the case of MyBookie. You win, you get paid. That's simple. If you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000. And they've got all kinds of great deposit options for you, so make sure you check them out when you sign up. But the only way to get that double your money is to use promo code radio. And MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. And if you're already on MyBookie, keep an eye on your email. They're constantly sending you great deals for reload bonuses, all kinds of options to bet on certain events. Check them out at MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.